You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, welcome in. We've got Justin McLeod from D1 Softball with us today. Ethan Westerman in Studio 2. We're going to talk about the Fayetteville Regional upcoming here at Bogle Park this weekend. The Razorbacks, the number 5 overall national seed. We'll get to that in just a moment. I want to tell you first that our podcast brought to you by Eglin's Best. When it comes to your game day, you want the best in your lineup. That includes your eggs. Eglin's Best delivers more the nutrition you need with 6 times more vitamin D and 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. You can score now with Eglin's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. Visit eglinsbest.com for more information. We're also brought to you by Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. They're committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas, looking for skilled craftsmanship, you can look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. We appreciate you being with us wherever you are. Maybe you're watching us on YouTube, one of our social media channels. We've got our podcast that we post on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just search Whole Hog Sports anywhere. We'd ask that you'd subscribe and help us out that way. Justin McLeod does a great job covering college softball for D1 Softball. The Razorbacks going to host a regional this weekend. They've got Fordham on Friday. The other two teams that are in here at this regional, Washington's the number 2 seed, and South Florida is the number 3. Justin, when you look at Arkansas's path, maybe to Oklahoma City, maybe let's just start this weekend. What do you see this weekend from the regional field?
This, to me, might be the regional with the deepest pitching, first of all. With Arkansas's pitching being what it is, with Heron and Burnham and Timmerman, you throw in the American Conference Pitcher of the Year and Ann Long from South Florida, and then you throw in a pitching staff led by Morgan Reimer and Sophia Ramuno at Washington. Like, I love the pitching in this regional, and I think that truthfully could be the key to the whole regional, whatever that looks like, you know, from the first game on to the last. That's the thing that stands out to me the most about this regional. I also think it's a really solid group of teams. There's a lot of experience. There's a lot of veterans on each one of the teams. There's a lot of programs that know their way around the postseason. So, you know, it's not one of those, you know, flash in the pan conference champions here for the first time. There's a lot of veteran experience on the field, also within each program. This is one of the regionals that I'm really excited to see what happens and how the games play out, because I think there's a lot of just a lot of talent, which to me equals there's going to be a lot of really good games no matter who comes out on top.
Arkansas had the number 1 RPI. They end up as the number 5 national seed. I don't think anybody expected them to be the number 1 overall. Did you think 5? Was that about right?
Yeah, 4-5 is where I thought they'd be, where we kind of had them. It was going to be one of those things, the way we termed it, truth be told, even though this isn't how the committee thinks about it, was where did Nebraska break up the group of SEC teams? Because kind of had the top 5 was pretty well set, some combination of Alabama, Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Arkansas. Nebraska, obviously, the only non-SEC, so it was like, okay, where does Nebraska fall in there? So 4-5 is pretty much where we thought Arkansas would fall and pretty much where we thought it was a good spot for them.
The way they seeded these teams, I think this has confused people this year, and like a good bit of our listening audience is baseball fans too. I suspect they're going to do the same thing with baseball here in a couple of weeks whenever the baseball bracket is announced. Just explain to people what the big changes were this year and why that looked a little bit different during the selection show.
So traditionally, in years past, it's just been top 16 seeds, and then the entire rest of the regionals were first and foremost actually based on geography. Okay, who could bust somewhere within the 400-mile radius, and that's who ended up in a regional. So that's why you saw a lot of teams in the same regional every time they made the postseason. Coming into this year, that actually was changed back in the fall to the top 32 were going to be seeded in pods. So instead of the 2, 3, and 4 regional seeds, the 2s were going to be, you know, they might fly more of them, but it was going to be based on merit. Well, just a matter of a few days before the actual selection show, there was another change added, and that was this whole quadrant approach, where you have teams seeded 1 through 8 in each quadrant, so in each of the 4 corners of the bracket. In my mind, the comparisons that have been made the most often are to the basketball bracket. Mm-hmm. In my mind, it's actually more comparable to the volleyball bracket. And how it's set up, because basketball, you seed 1 through 16. In softball, I think it's a little more similar to volleyball with the way they're doing it, where you show 1 through 8. And so what that looks like is in each quadrant, the team seeded 1 through 4, that if you look at the bracket and it's got the 1 through 4, those are the top 16 seeds. Those are the regional hosts. the teams seeded 5 through 8 in each quadrant are the regional 2 seeds. The timing of it, and it wasn't explained well, and then you go on the selection show, and it's like, okay, the number 13 overall national seed, but they're going to be a 4 seed in the quadrant. Like, there wasn't a lot of explanation provided, but that's what it boils down to, is they just basically put a different set of numbering next to teams that were already going to have some kind of numbers next to their names anyway.
It almost feels to me, Ethan, like they need to rethink this next year. There's too many numbers. I mean, like you're assigned a 1, 2, 3, 4 in a regional, but then, you know, you're it's very, very confusing, I felt like.
Yeah, I'm curious, Justin, putting the, you know, maybe the confusion element aside where people didn't know what was going on, just because, you know, we're trained to watch these selection shows a certain way, and when it's done any bit differently, you know, it throws us off a little bit. But putting that aside, the confusion aspect, do you feel like maybe this change of approach, top to bottom, you got maybe a more equitable bracket, better, like, you know, pairings than in the past?
I think in some ways, yes. I mean, for instance, in years past, you would not have seen, very relevant to Arkansas, as a matter of fact, you would not have seen South Florida outside the state of Florida, because they would have, just by virtue of the busing rules, they would have had to have been in Gainesville or in Tallahassee, because they were within that 400-mile radius of each one. And so when South Florida was making the tournament every year, it was almost like they would alternate. You know, one year the committee would put them in Gainesville, the next year they'd go to Tallahassee, back to Gainesville, back to Tallahassee. You, under the old rules, there would have been no question. South Florida would have gone to one of those two because of the busing rules. They're a 3 seed, so it's not even, they're not even in that top 32 or the top 8 quadrant, seeds per quadrant, but the top 32 being seeded, those 8 seeds in each quadrant, and again, you're right, way too many numbers, but you would never have seen that, but here they are, they're flying to Arkansas. So I actually do think it benefits the bracket. I absolutely think they could have explained it significantly better. I think they could have laid it out a lot better, because I mean, there was teams and coaches and players and SIDs and all that kind of stuff that, like, everybody's like, okay, we saw our name, are we this seed or are we this seed? And it's like, okay, here's what it boils down to, kind of thing. But at the end of the day, I think the bracket does benefit from it, even as confusing as it was explained.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are wondering, too, for Arkansas's sake, you know, we talked a little bit about how they're earned the 5 seed, and, you know, nobody, I don't think, expected them to get the 1, but, you know, they did finish the season 1 in RPI, 1 in strength of schedule, which are two very important things. How much do you think, well, number one, what was the reason, obviously, for them to not end up as the 1 or 2, or to slide down to 5 with those two things, and how important are those maybe moving forward? Like, is the RPI as important as it was maybe 2 or 3 years ago?
So I'm in the camp that I actually think RPI has its place. There's a lot of people who don't like the RPI. Things like, you know, if you win, but you play a team with a low RPI, you win and you still slide in the RPI. I actually don't mind the different aspects of the RPI, because my issue is I think we view the RPI the wrong way. I think it's a valuable tool. I don't think it's the end-all be-all, but we kind of treat it as the end-all be-all because everybody wants to live on a metric. Everybody wants to live on a metric. It's not just, okay, let's watch the games. Wrapping that back around, I think watching the games is where Arkansas being the 5 seed comes from. Alabama, the 1 seed. Well, head-to-head, Arkansas lost that series. Oklahoma, same thing. Texas won the SEC tournament championship. So among the SEC teams that Arkansas was behind, there's a legitimate, okay, I see why they're behind A, B, and C. Even though they beat Texas, Texas still won the SEC tournament and had a little bit of an extra edge. So I think that's the thing, is RPI is still relevant. I think we view it the wrong way. I think it's a tool and a process, not the end-all be-all, and we kind of treat it like the end-all be-all. But the way I think we should treat it and view things is also the explanation for why I think Arkansas pretty fairly is at the 5 seed, just because, like, head-to-head against Oklahoma and Alabama, and then just the fact that Texas a leg up over pretty much everybody else with that SEC tournament championship. And I think too, like, once you get to this point, top 8 seed to top 8 seed wherever you fall. Like, yeah, your super regional matchup, it matters a little more, but a top 5 seed, a top 8 seed, that's going to get you home the whole way as long as you win, and I think that's pretty equitable.
Justin, the softball committee, as well as the baseball committee, they're both using this DSR rating this year, the Diamond Sports Rating. Explain the difference between that and RPI, and do you feel like maybe decisions were weighted differently this year because it was not just RPI that was used in the decision-making process?
don't really, I'm going to answer the second part first. That's okay. I don't really feel like things were done differently, because the thing is, the way I just said, like, RPI should be one thing on the table, that's pretty much where the DSR is. So they've had a metric called the KPI for a few years now that has kind of been on the table as a complement to the RPI. You add DSR in, and the committee pretty much has said, they said during the season, this is how we're going to approach it. That what they were looking for amongst those three metrics, the RPI, the KPI, and the DSR, were outliers. So if, for instance, a team was, let's just say, 10 in all three metrics, or within a spot or two of 10 in all three metrics, well, that was going to give that team a little bit of an extra leg up, because they were consistent even amongst the metrics that are assembled different ways. Mm-hmm. If in those metrics, you know, they were 10 in one and 27 in another and 16 in the third, well, that was going to be, okay, why are they good over here? What's different about this team? The DSR assigns a value to each win, or to each game, I should say. RPI is a constantly moving thing. So, like I say, you beat a team in February and that team just really sucks down the stretch and their RPI drops, your RPI will be affected by their standing, even though you played them 2 months earlier. You play a poor team, your RPI may drop because their RPI is so low, even if you beat them. Mm-hmm. So RPI, the way I term it, is a constantly fluctuating metric. It gets pretty consistent later in the year in terms of there's not as much movement, but you may still move. Texas Tech, for instance, moved three spots lower after sweeping a doubleheader in April because the team they beat was a 200-plus team in RPI. DSR does not do that. DSR assigns a value to each game, and you get what you get for it, and that's it. You stay with what it is there. So in that same example, that team you beat in February, if that was something that you benefited from in February, you retain that benefit all the way into May, even if that team starts sliding themselves. You get the benefit that you had by beating them when you beat them, not, okay, where do they end up in the season? That's the biggest difference to me. When I look at the two and I compare them, that's the biggest difference. RPI is a constantly fluctuating metric. DSR is not. It assigns a value, and that's what you get, and you get the points for it right when you're there.
You know, RPI, as you said, it's kind of under fire right now. From a baseball standpoint, you saw yesterday the chair of the Division I Baseball Oversight Committee actually sent out a letter to coaches, said, you know, basically quit canceling games for non-weather related reasons. It's happening a lot, including Kentucky, who plays Arkansas this weekend. They've canceled a game against Northern Kentucky. In basketball, Justin, the net overtook the RPI. I don't think they even care about the RPI in basketball anymore. Do you think we're at a point, or going to be at a point anytime soon, where maybe a KPI or a DSR overtakes the RPI when we're talking about baseball or softball?
Don't know that I see it overtaking the RPI, just because there are some very distinct differences between each one, but none of them are infallible either. So within those distinct differences, there are also things that when I look at it, I'm like, okay, well, X does this thing that Y and Z do not do. Y does this thing that X and Z do not do. So as valuable as each of them is in their differences, those differences also, to me, are there for each one. I think the way the committee said they were going to approach this year and the assumption that they did, I think is the best approach. Have everything on the table, multiple metrics that do different ways, that are assembled different ways, and use them all as reference points. That's where I think we should be, and I do think that's where we're headed. I don't see anything, any single metric overtaking the RPI. Mm. What I do see, honestly, probably happening is the RPI just kind of taking a step down to be on a similar plane, and then calculate all the metrics together, use all of them equally. What's the value of X and Y and Z when we're seeding this team? That's where I think we're headed, and I don't think it'll take us long to get there, to be honest.
Justin, want to go back to the Fayetteville Regional just to talk about, you know, doing maybe team comparisons. Like Arkansas, you'd expect to be the favorite with their seeding and everything, and the you know, their stats back it up as far as their number one in the regional in scoring margin, runs per game, ERA, batting average, opponent batting average. But to play devil's advocate, if you will, you know, what do you think it would take for Arkansas to not come out of its regional? Like, what would that have to look like for another team to knock Arkansas off, you know, since Arkansas on surface value looks like the most complete team in the regional?
I think that's a fair assessment. I think they are the most complete team there. I think for me, what if Arkansas were to lose, why would they lose? I think it's the offense doesn't show up. Because I think the pitching of Washington and South Florida, with no slight to Fordham, but I think Washington and South Florida's pitching is in a very good place. I think both have pitching staffs that can beat really good teams. Now, Washington obviously slid down the stretch in the Big Ten. South Florida actually did the opposite. Like, they were better down the stretch than I think they were in the non-con. To me, if Arkansas were to not come out of this regional, it would be because the offense just didn't perform. Like, somebody overpowered them in the circle, et cetera. To me, that's the ticket. If the offense performs for Arkansas and is able to do so against the really good pitching of the opposition, I think, I'm not going to say Arkansas is home free, but that's a best case scenario.
I don't think I'm the only one who has this assessment that out of all the, you know, first day games, the South Florida and Washington actually seems like a really sneaky good one, as far as kind of a, you know, South Florida has Ann Long, really good pitcher, and Washington has a really good offense. Just sets up to be a really intriguing, you know, first round game in my head. Which of those teams do you think is better suited to maybe, if they suffered a loss in that game, to still claw their way back and meet in a regional final?
Enough, honestly, because I think Washington's got a little more depth than South Florida does. But I think South Florida actually might be my gut reaction answer to that question, because South Florida is living and dying on Ann Long in the circle. She was there arm all the way through both of their games in the American Conference Tournament. She kind of developed and emerged as the ace midway through the year and became a very reliable twice a weekend, sometimes three times a weekend, arm for South Florida. That's the biggest issue for South Florida that keeps me from maybe saying absolutely them, is just because I don't know what their depth behind her is. I don't really love the depth behind her in the circle. I like South Florida's offense. They can, when they get going, they can really get going. But I think the depth that Washington has probably puts them in that category. Like, you don't, it's not just relying on just one pitcher, on just one arm. And I think if you're going to try to have to come out of a loser's bracket and pull off an upset, that's, depth is the key.
Justin, let's get you out of here on this. I read at The Athletic earlier this week, basically it was, they said they think Arkansas has got a favorable path to Oklahoma City. We talked about the teams in this regional. You look bigger picture, they would face up with the winner of the regional at Duke. So let's say Duke and Arkansas play in a super regional. I mean, is it a fair assessment that it's a favorable path for Arkansas?
I think so. What's actually funny is, so if I said that Fayetteville is the regional where I think that might be the best pitching regional-wise, Durham is actually the regional where I think it's the best offense, just for the whole regional field. With, you know, getting Arizona over there and a Marshall and things like that, teams that really know how to hit. I do think Arkansas has a favorable path. I don't think it's an easy path, though. Because if Duke were to come out of that regional, if Arizona were to come out of that regional, pull off an upset and play at Bogle as an unseeded team, like that's a heavyweight fight. Like, you're probably talking about, honestly, I'm sitting here talking about the regional being pitching heavy. You're talking about a super that's probably offense heavy, to be honest. So I do think it's a favorable path. It's one that I can look at and go, okay, yeah, I can see Arkansas making their way through this, out-dueling, you know, a Duke or an Arizona, whatever that looks like. But I do think Arkansas's got, they're going to have to win those games. They're not going to run over anybody. The thing is, if they win those games and they make it to the Women's College World Series, I think this is going to be a more battle-tested Arkansas team in the postseason than, truth be told, I think we may have seen in the last few years. If they get there, they're going to have won games over really good teams, and that's going to set them up well if they get to Oklahoma City.
You can read Justin McLeod at d1softball.com. Justin, we appreciate your time.
Thanks so much.
All right. Ethan, when you talk about this you know, Fayetteville regional, first off, I think there's a lot of people who are going to look at this regional with just they're going to look at it through the viewpoint of Arkansas has not been to Oklahoma City. They've been at home for, this is 6 years in a row now where they've started at home. They've lost three super regionals at home, which means they've won three of the last five regionals that have been here in Fayetteville. Just maybe the external pressure that's on the team. I wonder how you think that might factor into this weekend?
Yeah, I think probably the seniors that have been here. They have three seniors, Robin Heron, Reagan Johnson, Natalia Riho, who have been here. They were part of the number one high school recruiting class, and they've stuck it out with Arkansas their whole career. They might feel, I think, a little bit more than others on the roster just because they've been kind of here for that. But I just think they have a roster that's pretty like relatively new to that history, to where I don't know if it matters as much as maybe fans feel sometimes with the team. I think those they have a lot of retention from last year's roster that felt the sting of losing to Ole Miss and the Supers on the home field. That, like, they do have a lot of people who experienced the recent history as far as last year's disappointment. But I don't know. I think sometimes we maybe place more emphasis as people who have been around it longer than the athletes. Like, I think for them, a lot of times it's more of just a business approach as far as, like, this year is different from last year. But there is certainly, I think the coaching staff feels it probably, because it's been kind of this thing that's just bit them is losing on their home field, you know, at some point before the Women's College World Series. But I don't know how much it affects the team.
You told me earlier today you think that this is one of the going back to what I asked Justin a second ago, one of the more favorable paths that Arkansas's had through a regional, super regional.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's paths for any of these teams in the regional, especially, you know, Washington, South Florida, to pull off some upsets and somehow make it through there. But I just think if you just objectively are looking at how these teams have performed this year, Arkansas is the one that has the least holes. I think that Washington has had a pretty good offense all year long, but the pitching hasn't been always great in their biggest games when they've gone up against the top teams, and Arkansas's got one of the top offenses. The bats have been kind of quiet for the Razorbacks recently, and that's kind of what Justin alluded to as far as, like, that's the same assessment that I had. I told you earlier that the way I see them not advancing is if the offense just doesn't do much this weekend. But it could be a get-right weekend, too, as far as they've just not performed at the level they were early in the year. It's not to say that it's just completely fallen off the face of the earth or something, but it's just like they aren't clicking how they were prior to maybe the back fourth of their regular season schedule. But I do think that when you look at Arkansas, it can pitch, can hit, and can defend. And I'm like, that you can't say the same thing about every team in this regional, at least consistently.
He mentioned being battle-tested when they get to Oklahoma City, if they get that far. I mean, you think they're already way more battle-tested than the other teams that are in this regional.
Yeah, I mean, look at who were the top three seeds in the NCAA tournament. Alabama, Texas, OU. They played road series at all three of them this year, and they went 4-5, quick math, in those games, because they won game two against Alabama, and Oklahoma won the series at Texas. So they went 4-5 against the top three seeds on the road, which, you know, I kind of, for better or for worse, I kind of say it, maybe flip that if they're at home, like maybe 5-4. I think that home field is a real advantage. Who knows? But I do think that they've just there's not a team that they'll line up against and be like, oh yeah, we haven't seen this. Like, they've seen the best. They've gone up against the best. I think that really, when we talk about them being battle tested, some of it was by design. As far as in their non-conference, they played some really good, sneaky good teams. But, like, they didn't control their SEC schedule. That was handed to them by the SEC, and it just turned out to be really hard. I mean, you look at their other SEC road series. So you play four home, four road. They had those three, one, two, three, as three of their four away series. The fourth one was Mississippi State, which was probably, like, one or two outside of hosting a regional itself that has, like, one of the top pitching staffs in the nation. So they played four just certified top at least probably 18, 19 teams in the country as their road series. And they didn't choose that, but that's what they were handed. And they went through it, and they made it out with the number one RPI.
What do you think the biggest key is for Arkansas to win this weekend?
I think the offense, just they have to adjust quickly. I think that Justin said it well, that there's some good pitchers in this regional, and it wouldn't shock me if Arkansas maybe struggles early innings to just you're seeing a new pitcher for the first time. But, like, what does it look like the second, third time through the lineup? That's whenever we've seen Arkansas a lot of times this year flip the switch. I think about their series at Mississippi State. I think there was a no-hitter going into the fifth inning, and all of a sudden Arkansas puts up eight runs within a matter of, like, I don't even know how many pitches, and they run rule them because they just made the adjustment the next time through the lineup. I think that's what it will take in this regional is the pitchers have been pretty consistent here down the latter stretch of the season as far as they're doing their job really well. I think it's what will you get from the offense. I think that if the offense adjusts quick, do kind of what they did last year against Oklahoma State. They were trailing going into the later innings of that game, which your first winner's bracket game is huge in any regional. We know this. And it looked like they were on the ropes of having to fall into the loser's bracket and crawl out. And then all of a sudden against Ruby Malin, who's one of the best pitchers in the nation, I think she was co-Big 12 pitcher of the year this year, they made adjustments, and they pulled off kind of a stunner. So it'll take similar type of adjustments. You can't go through at-bats early in the game and not learn from them for the next time you see the pitcher. So that's, in my opinion, the biggest key.
The schedule's a little bit different this weekend. Like, the games usually are more like noon, 1 o'clock, the first game, and this time Arkansas is going to play the early game, and that's at 4:30.
Yeah, it's just kind of dependent each year, but we're so used to seeing Arkansas no matter what time slot it is. If they start earlier in the day, early afternoon or late afternoon, like, they're usually the nightcap or whatever that looks like as far as they've chosen to play the second game for a lot of years, but this year they're going to play the first one. I think that I honestly like that route. I think that it helps you get maybe just right away the jitters out of your, because I think every player naturally with the NCAA tournament, like, you're just ready to get out there and play. And if you're just sitting watching another game, sometimes that can, you know, give more time to think about it. I think it's nice to just get out there, play, rest, watch the other team and that you might play and you know, go at it again the next day.
That's one of the many reasons that Dave Van Horn likes playing the early game when it comes to the baseball regionals. Others are, if you win or if you lose, you are going to be more rested than the team that you play the next day. That's certainly that's a consideration in softball too. I know baseball pitching is a little bit different in terms of rest for softball pitching, but I am of the belief that it's better just to go out there and play and get it over with and don't sit there and wait. And then not to mention, the weather looks fine for this weekend, but a lot of times regional weekends you can have bad weather. Mm-hmm. And then, you don't want to be the team that's playing after the first game, trying to wait on that first game to finish weather-wise, or maybe there's weather that comes in between it and, you're out there till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, 3:10 in the morning. We've seen that here in regionals in Fayetteville. It feels like it's very beneficial to go first. Like, there, other than the ticket, the ticket revenue, and I think the ticket revenue is probably going to be the same either way. It just feels like there really is no downside to playing the early game.
Yeah, and I think that it's just you get to this point of the year and you just like to get on the field. I don't like waiting around. I don't think anybody likes just waiting around for their game to start. You just want to get on the field.
I haven't met anybody who does.
But I think that they've got it set up to where also, like, you think about in a regional pairing, how if you win your first game, you, because of elimination games the next day, you play earlier always because they need to get that settled for – if you're to play early on your first day – and then you win early on your next day, that just sets up to where you're getting rest every single day. Losing in a regional is such a just a tough thing because you all of a sudden are just drained, and you, whenever there's rain, like, I think about a few years ago, I think it was La Tech Kansas State in a baseball game, that it's like pouring rain and they're trying to figure this out late at night, and they end up having to call off, like, we're gonna have to pick this back up tomorrow morning. And I'm like, how mentally exhausting is that to be, like, locked in for a game and then you have to go sleep on it and pick up in the fifth inning or something? So I just think it benefits you to just get it out and go ahead and get the game under your belt.
Speaking of weather for this regional, Friday mostly sunny, high of 87 degrees. Saturday mostly sunny, high of 86. Sunday mostly sunny, high of 86. Now, I will say the one thing that jumps out to me here, Ethan, is that all three of these days, south winds that could gust anywhere from 25 to 30 miles an hour and could be pretty consistently 5 to 15, that can make Bogle play pretty big.
Yeah, it really can. And I think that it's one of those things where you look at this regional and neither Fordham or South Florida really hits the long ball very much. I think each are under 30 this season, where they're fine with any sort of small ball game they could play. But Arkansas and Washington both have the ability to hit some home runs. It'll just be curious to see how this plays out, because I think the pitching will be really good, but, you know, a home run in a pitcher's duel can be so deflating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they'll take the wind over the rain delays.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I don't know about Courtney Dyfel, because she says that wind is her least favorite element to play in. She said that multiple times this year that she'll take anything over wind because it affects the game so much. I think Courtney Dyfel would love to play in a dome or something. I'm just kidding. I think she likes Bogle a lot.
It's going to be pretty windy this weekend. Going to be interesting to see how that plays out. There is a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms Sunday night if there is a game Sunday night. There potentially could be. It's not guaranteed that there will be. So that's the forecast for this weekend. Ethan's got a great story up on our website previewing the regional. It goes very in-depth if you want to go read that at WholeHogSports.com. We appreciate you being with us. We'll be back with another show tomorrow. Hope to see you at our website or here on our show tomorrow. Have a great day.